everyone, welcome to Godology. My name is Danny. I am the pastor of Cross United Church here in sunny and warm South Florida. This is a time for our local church to learn and grow what we believe about God and all things in relation to God. But if you're not a part of our local church, you're of course welcome to come along for the journey. If you're here locally in South Florida, we'd love to see you sometime on a Sunday. You can go to crossunited.org for more information. We're continuing to talk about what we believe in our statement of faith, which is the Baptist Faith and Message, which was revised in the year 2000. And we're talking today about what we believe about God the Son. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the dense, wordy summary statement from our statement of faith, and then I'm going to break it down into some more simplified bullet points. So let's go. Article 2b, God the Son. Christ is the eternal Son of God. In his incarnation as Jesus Christ, he was conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus perfectly revealed and did the will of God, taking upon himself human nature with its demands and necessities, and identifying himself completely with mankind yet without sin. So obviously, that's a mouthful. So in other words, Jesus Christ has been the Son of God forever. There was never a time when he did not exist with God the Father. God the Son became a man named Jesus. The Holy Spirit did a miracle in the womb of Mary, and she became pregnant with Jesus, even though she was truly a virgin. Jesus was a real, true man in every way, except for one thing. He had never sinned. So that's a whole lot. This is really at the heart of what we believe as Christians. The name Christian, of course, comes from Christ, Jesus Christ. And so what we believe about God the Son is at the heart of what we believe about what is most important in the world. And so we're going to talk about what we believe about God the Son in two different parts. And we're going to talk about first is who God the Son is. And then we're going to talk about what God the Son did. So the person of Jesus Christ, who he is, and the work of Jesus Christ, what he has done. So we're going to dive in now to the person of Christ. Who is God the Son? So when we talk about Jesus and who he is in his person, we talk about it in two different aspects or two different perspectives. First, we have to talk about who he is eternally, the eternal Son. So today we're going to talk about the first aspect of who Jesus is as God the Son, fully God. And we're going to talk about what it means that he is the eternal God. He is God the Son, the eternal God. And the first thing we need to understand is that God the Son, Jesus Christ, is fully God. We can see this in a number of ways. For example, the Bible in a number of places calls Jesus Yahweh, the name of God in the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament. So we saw when we talked about what it means that God is a Trinity, that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that one name of God in the Great Commission that we're baptized into as Christians is actually the name Yahweh from the Old Testament. And here we see in the person of the Son again that Jesus claims the name Yahweh. In Exodus 3:14, the Lord Yahweh reveals himself to Moses, and Moses says, "What's your name? Who should I tell the Israelites is sending me to bring them out of captivity?" And the Lord Yahweh says, "Tell them I am who I am." Well, Jesus claims that name for himself in John 8:58 and says, "I am." In Isaiah 8:13, only Yahweh the Lord is honored as holy. But then 1 Peter 3:15 says to honor Christ the Lord as holy. So Christ the Lord is Yahweh. In Isaiah 45:23, Yahweh the Lord says that every knee will bow and swear allegiance to him. Then in the New Testament, we see in Philippians 2:10-11, that at the name of Jesus, every name would bow in heaven and on earth, and confess that he is Lord. In Isaiah 40, there's a prophecy of the one who would prepare the way for the Lord, who would prepare the way for Yahweh. And then we see in the New Testament, in the beginning of the Gospels, that that person who is preparing the way of the Lord and who fulfills that prophecy is John the Baptizer, who prepares the way for Jesus. So the one who prepares the way for Yahweh is John the Baptist, who prepares the way for Jesus. So Jesus is Yahweh. Jesus is the eternal God. Also, in a number of places, the Bible actually calls Jesus God. In John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word," and we know that from the context that is talking about Jesus. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In Romans 9:5, Paul the Apostle calls Jesus the God over all. So the Bible calls Jesus God. And then another way we can see that Jesus is the eternal God and he is fully God is that the Bible talks about Jesus in a way that is true only of God. Jesus does things in the Bible that only God can do. So when the friends bring their paralyzed friend and they lower him through the roof, remember Jesus says, "My son, your sins are forgiven." And the Pharisees, the religious leaders are indignant because they say, "Who can forgive sin but God alone?" And then Jesus proves his authority to forgive sin, that is the authority of God, by bringing the man's physical abilities back to him. In that famous passage where Jesus walks on water, well, that actually is a sign of deity because Jesus is Lord over creation. Only the one who is God can walk on top of the water. When Jesus receives the worship of the disciples, that is something only God can legitimately receive. So Jesus does things, and the Bible attributes things to Jesus that can only be attributed to God. So then the question is, how is Jesus fully God? We talked about the way that God is a Trinity, and here we need to remember that Jesus is the only begotten Son. And here we're going to talk about three ways the Bible describes the Son, Jesus, as the only begotten Son. And the first is as the Son of God. For example, in Psalm 2:7, it says, "I will declare the Lord's decree. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father,' or 'Today I have begotten you.'" Now, Psalms 1 and 2 are the introduction of the book of Psalms, or the Psalter. These Psalms were originally in the context of talking about David, who was seen as the adopted son of God. So Psalm 2 is a royal psalm about David's enthronement as king, but when we look at it, there's actually so much more happening. Instead of it being just about David, David speaks prophetically about the eternal Son. David's kingship and sonship was merely a reflection of Jesus the Son's eternal sonship. While David was adopted, and while Christians in Christ are adopted as sons, as children of God, Jesus is God the Son by nature. This is important because most Christians would affirm that God is a Trinity, but they don't understand how the relations in the divine life, in the nature of God, work. The Father begets the Son eternally. There is a dynamic relationship of giving and receiving that is somewhat mirrored in our human relationships, but is in other ways completely different than our human relationships because we're talking about eternal divine relations. So the Father gives life and love to his Son eternally, but there's no sequence of time. There's no subordination of essence. There is a distinction of person, but a singularity of substance. We've seen over and over as we've studied the Trinity, John 5:26, as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. So how can someone have something in himself but from another? Well, that is the mystery of the Trinity, that the Father has life in himself and he has granted eternally the Son to have life in himself, such that they are one God, one nature, but two distinct persons. The Father is the one who begets, and the Son is the one who is begotten. The most universally accepted statement of faith in the church, other than the Bible itself, all streams of Christians affirm it, is the Nicene Creed. It's affirmed by Eastern Orthodox Christians, by Roman Catholic Christians, and by Evangelical Protestant Christians. And it says this: "We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father." The words of the creed here are just trying to summarize the way the Bible itself describes the relations between the Father and the Son. You see, there is an eternal divine difference between creating something and begetting something. We create things that are unlike us, but begetting something, a child, has our same nature. Well, with God, he creates the world, but he begets his Son. So his Son is fully God with him. One nature, but a distinct person. Now, when people come together, a father and a mother come together, they beget a human person who is a distinct person, but also a different being. God is different. The Father begets the Son alone, without partner and without division of essence, without subordination of nature, without passage of time. That's why Jesus was born of a virgin, as we are going to see a little bit later. As Gregory of Nazianzus, the great Greek theologian of the 300s, the 4th century, said, "On earth he has no father, in heaven he has no mother." In the generation or the begetting of the Son, the Father gives the Son all that he has eternally, the entirety of the divine nature, all that God is as God. Again, this is a mystery because for us, for a father to give life to a son includes a partner, includes passage of time, includes distinctions of authority and submission, includes all sorts of things that are not true of God. Yet, there is a glimmer of the reality of Father and Son. The Father is the lover, the Son is the beloved, and the Spirit is the bond of love. This matters eternally, because if you get God wrong and you get Jesus wrong, you're eternally wrong. So it's a life and death issue. The second way the Bible talks about the relation between the Father and the Son eternal is with the name the Word of God. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So we see there the distinction of person with God, the Father, and the singularity of nature was God. God the Father knows himself so perfectly eternally that his knowledge of himself somehow proceeds eternally as the eternal person of the Word. Now again, this is very different from our human experience. When we think of something, a word or a concept in our minds, it's in our minds, it's a thought, and it comes after our brain, our mind exists, and it doesn't come as a distinct person. We might write it down. God is different. In God, the Word proceeds as a distinct person, yet possessing the fullness of the one divine nature. So we see in the Son, the Word, the fullness of who God is as life and love. We see that God is fully truth and fully wisdom. Not just that he does wise things, not just that he knows true things, but that he is truth itself. He is wisdom itself. We should say he is truth himself. He is wisdom himself, because wisdom and truth are the person of the Son and common to the divine nature. John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the truth." 1 Corinthians 1:25, Christ is the wisdom of God. Colossians 2:3, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So God the Son is the Word. He is truth. He is wisdom. From the very beginning, we see this reality played out. In the very beginning of creation, we see God the Trinity act to create the world in truth and wisdom. We see the Trinity at work in creation. In the beginning, God the Father created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and the Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, what is that? That is a word. So we see God, Father, God, Son, Word, God, Spirit at work in creation. The Word is the truth and the reason and the order and the wisdom behind all things. This is why DNA is a perfectly coded helix, because it was designed by a perfectly wise God. This is why water comes both up from the ground and down from the sky. This is why your kids grow when you feed them food. The world has order and purpose because God is the Word, and the Word is God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then we're going to see the Word became flesh, humanity, and lived among us. A third big picture the Bible uses to describe God the Son as the eternal God is the image of God. Colossians 1:15 says that Christ is the image of the invisible God. Hebrews 1:3 says that the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact imprint or expression of his nature. This means that God the Son perfectly displays the character of God the Father, because they are one God yet distinct persons. This is why when Philip asks Jesus, "Show us the Father and it's enough for us." And Jesus says, "Philip, I've been with you all this time and you still don't know me? If you've seen me, you have seen the Father." So if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. He is the perfect image of God. Now, if you're familiar with the Bible, you know that the Bible teaches that as humanity, we are made in the image of God. Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28. God says, let us make man in our own image. Now, this is very different from what it means for Jesus, the eternal Son, to be the image of God, because we reflect the image of God like a mirror. Jesus radiates the image of God. So it's the difference between the sun and the moon. The sun radiates light and energy from itself. The moon merely reflects the light that comes from the sun. We reflect the image of God and bear the image of God as a gift. Jesus, the eternal Son, radiates the image of God because he is the image of God in who he is eternally. God the Son is the image of God. He is eternal. He is self-existent. He is self-sufficient. He is the perfect image of the Father, just exactly like the Father, yet not the same person as the Father, not less than the Father, but exactly like the Father in every way except for the fact that he is the Son who is begotten and the Father is the Father who begets. Now, wrap your mind around that. It's beyond human comprehension, but that is what the Bible teaches us about the life of God the Father and God the Son, and then we will see God the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to pause there as we talked about God the Son in his person, who he is as God the Eternal Son. We're going to talk next time about God the Son incarnate, what it means for God the Son to become a human being in the person of Jesus Christ. So I will see you next time.